reading to you from the 31st chapter of Proverbs and with the 30th verse. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe, and as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. I gave my heart to Christ over 45 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. 1 year later, God called me to preach, and I've been sharing the gospel ever since. Well, friends, I suppose you've got through Christmas already, getting ready to tear down those trees and all your ornaments. You know, the best way to let the world know who Jesus is to personally tell him. Give him your personal testimony of what Christ means to you. You know how I open up many times a conversation from a strange person, whether it be in a bank, a post office, or wherever it is, I always say this. You know, it's hard to believe, but 46 years ago or 47 years ago, I was walking the streets of Portland, Oregon, a hopeless alcoholic. Well, immediately I said, well, what happened to you? It's hard to believe. And then God opens the door and I tell him how I met Jesus. You may not be an alcoholic or never drank or anything like that, but listen, if you're born again, you have a testimony and you should use it for the Lord. Well, listen, I'll be with you for an hour and I kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour you a glass of tea or a hot cup of coffee, and let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Friends, would you unite your heart with me in prayer at this time? Kind Heavenly Father, in Jesus' precious holy name, I thank you, Lord, so much for this past year. Things didn't look very good there for a while, and I did suffer a lot, but oh, precious Lord, you suffered so much more on the cross of Calvary for every person in this world. Everybody who hears the gospel message has an opportunity to open their heart and receive you. And Lord, I'm so glad that you delivered me from alcohol, from cigarettes, the things that was killing me, and gave me peace that I'll never forget. Friend, take care of the spiritual and physical and financial needs of all of our ready listening family. Minister to those who are hurting tonight, those who have lost loved ones this year, and those who have had some lot of sickness and heartaches and heart attacks and whatever. Be with them tonight. And then, Lord, I pray that you'll honor your word. Lift up Jesus, Lord, and hide me behind the cross. And I pray that you'll save that man, that woman, that boy, that girl who's on the road to hell tonight. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. I've titled my message, Christ Lives, and We Who Know Jesus Will Live Also. I'm reading from the first chapter of Revelation, and with the 17th and 18th verse. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys to death and Hades. Then I read in the 11th chapter of John, in the 25th and 26th verse, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, and even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? And then in John 14, chapter the 19th verse, before long the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live, you also will live. Friends, if you take the resurrection out of Easter, what remains is a paganized festival, well symbolized by rabbits, chickens, ducks, unfolding flowers, and reviving nature. Explain away the open grave and you will have eliminated the hope of the hereafter, the ark of the Christian faith, the hope of heaven, and have stifled the ageless cry, "He is not here, he is risen." The graves of outstanding men like Pharaoh or Muhammad in Mecca and Lenin in Moscow are well known, yet they remain in the grave. Every tomb and burial place, whether it be simple or massive, is a testimony to final failure of all that is human. But the tomb of Jesus has been empty over 2,000 years. Mohammeds heckle our missionaries overseas with the challenge. We have the tomb of our great prophet Muhammad in Mecca, but you Christians have nothing. But we Christians have everything because of an empty tomb. Christ's empty tomb alone is the evidence of life. We hear the ageless challenge. Excuse me. Why seek ye the living among the dead? The resurrection is literally the crux and foundation of Christianity. Upon the truth of this event, the Christian structures rise or falls. Now, Christianity is a narrative religion, a factual religion based upon history. The supreme fact of all is the resurrection. Christianity stands unique because it bases its claims on the resurrection of its founder from the dead. Now, everywhere the apostles went, they preached the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you had asked them, how do you know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? How do you know he has the power to forgive? How do you know that death is not the end of life? How do you know that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord? They would have replied, because God raised him from the dead. The apostles tell us that Jesus Christ was and is now declared to be the Son of God with power by his resurrection from the dead. Now, if he did not rise literally, physically, and bodily, then he was nothing more than a pretender and a fraud. Then the cross was a farce, and his suffering was in vain. Then we have no Christ and no Savior. Since the resurrection is a final part of Christ's saving power and deity, the skeptic would like to destroy the fact of the resurrection. If Christ did not rise, we would lack assurance that he is God. We would lack assurance that he could save us from sin. If Christ were in the tomb, the gospel would be a delusion and not the power of God. The faith of millions of Christians would be in vain. But friends, he is alive and saving people all over the world today. Friends, they say, well, Cecil, how do you know that Jesus is real? One day I was literally given up by my family and loved ones that I was a hopeless alcoholic. But at 4:30 in the morning in a preacher's home in Seattle, Washington, as I was preparing to commit suicide, Reverend Tom Baird told me the good news of salvation. He assured me that this risen Savior had the power to forgive my sins, and if I repent of my sins, he would deliver me from the curse of alcohol and make a man out of me. Oh, listen. 45 years of sobriety would attest to you God does not lie. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Well, men and women have gone to the end of the earth to preach the risen Savior. They've endured shame, hunger, torment. They've become martyrs that others might share their joy of salvation and new life in Christ. Well, not so terribly long ago, a preacher and his wife were beaten to death in Africa. Millions have been transformed by their faith in Christ. There are hundreds and hundreds of false religions and false prophets in the world today. Christ separates the false from the truth. The resurrection is to Christianity what the sun is to the world. Yes, the cross without the resurrection would have spelled defeat. But the cross with the resurrection spells the greatest victory the world has ever seen. We know Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, that he that believeth on him has everlasting life. His blood cleanses us from all our sins. And he has gone to prepare a place and is coming back again. Death has lost its sting and the grave has swollen up in victory. You know, friends, many, many years ago, I had to go preach a funeral for a friend of mine in the Dalles, Oregon. I went out and spent, my wife and I went out and spent a night with my brother and his wife. Well, I knew that my brother was dying of diabetes. And so I did everything in my power that night to witness to him, to share with him Christ. He got mad. And I saw, well, there's no use of me sitting there arguing with him. I won't argue the scripture with nobody. So I went to bed. And the next morning when I went in to shave and shower, God spoke to my voice, to my heart in no uncertain words. Go in there and talk to your brother about Jesus, because this will be your last opportunity. Friends, it scared me to death. But I remember getting down on my knees, and I begged God to give me the courage to go back out one more time, because I had been witnessing to him for the past 26 years, and he would get so mad. One time, my sister came up to Portland, and my brother had both my brothers had travel trailers, and I had a travel trailer. And we stayed all night down on the Columbia River below Hood River. And I thought, boy, this is the first time four of us have been together in a long, long time. So we built a fire out there, and we brought chairs out, and my two brothers and my sister and I was sitting around this campfire. And I thought, oh, what a wonderful opportunity, the four of us together, that I might share with them Christ. And I said something like this, well, you know, boys, this is the one thing I love about the Lord. Did you know what they did? They stood up and they went back in the trailer and left me sitting out there around that fire by myself. My heart was broken. Well, I went into the other room where my brother was sitting. I said, Wilford Moe, I never tried to get you to join my church or my denomination. But one thing I have been guilty of, that's right, I've been telling you how much God loves you and how much I love you. And did you know, friends, I saw a miracle before my very eyes. Tears started streaming down my brother's eyes. And I went over there and I put my arm around his shoulder and I said, Will, would you like to put your trust in Jesus today? And he said, yes. And that big old millionaire lug bowed his head and cried out for God to forgive him and save him. I was with him at his deathbed a year later, my sister and I. And I read to him the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John. He died knowing that someday he would live again because of the resurrection of Christ from the dead. The most important event in human history is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Yes, Jesus is the most hated man since the beginning of time. He's hated even more than Hitler, Mussolini, and Saddam. And what a pity. Even right now as I speak, he is holding his arms outstretched saying, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you peace." He also is saying, "He that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." Everyone who has not received Christ today is lost and on the road to a devil's hell, where they'll be gnashing of teeth for all eternity. Friends, listen. It is not God's will that any man should perish. You know, over 55 years ago, I was in the biggest flotilla of ships ever gathered in any war or on any ocean. And we were headed for the invasion of Okinawa. This was it. And I will never forget how frightened I was. And it was Easter morning when we made our landing in Okinawa. The old Missouri was belting out those 16-inch shells over our heads. Rockets were going everywhere. Kamikaze planes were coming in. Bombers were coming in. And I remember how frightened I was. And I remember getting down on my knees and I said, "Oh God, don't let me die. I'm not ready to die." And I wasn't. I wasn't saved. And friends, if I'd have been killed that day, I would be in torment in a burning hell today. That's why I love him. He's not only saved me from my sins, he delivered me from alcoholism. Now let me ask you, tonight, I want to give you an opportunity to receive Christ. Now, you see, God loves you so much, and you just have to read John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, he knows your life. He knows you're a good person. He knows you're a churchgoer. But, my friends, that is not enough. He knows you've been baptized. That's not enough. "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Friends, listen. You and I cannot be good enough to get into heaven. We don't have enough money to buy our way into heaven, because you can't get it that way. He knows everything about you. But he also says, "Come to me, child. I want to give you a life that you never had before." So being good is not enough. The Bible tells us that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. You've sinned and I've sinned. And the only way to get rid of that sin is to put it under the blood of the Lamb. Well, what's your decision? Is God's Holy Spirit tugging at your old heart tonight? And you just feel like, "Oh, I just want to get rid of my sin. I want to have a new life. I do want to go to heaven when I die. And I do believe that Jesus was the Son of God. And I believe it. I am a sinner." All right, you've got all those facts straight. And if you feel led in your heart that you want to pray to receive him, bow your head with me and pray this simple prayer. "Dear Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. Lord, I'm sorry for the way I've lived my life, and I'm sorry for what I've done to you and my loved ones and my friends. And Father, the best way I know how right now, I'm opening my heart. And I'm inviting you in to be my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' precious name I pray, amen." Friends, if you prayed that prayer, I want you to get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. That's 303-471-8534. I'll not use your name on the air. I'll not embarrass you. I'll not sit down and write and ask you for any money. Friends, and I don't care where you go to church, I am concerned where you spend eternity. Please give me a call if you feel I can help you. 303-471-8534.
Someone said that living here is hard to do. The world is lost, but I say, brother, that ain't true. Give the Lord a chance and see what he will do. 'Cause miracles happen all the time. Empty hearts and broken homes are everywhere. People struggle on and no one seems to care. Now's the time to take it to the Lord in prayer. 'Cause miracles happen all the time. Miracles happen all the time. A miracle's happened in this heart of mine. A sinner who's been saved by grace, and now I'm feeling fine. Those miracles happen all the time. Bring the rich, the poor, the hungry, bring the lame, the blind, the helpless, give them strength in Jesus' name. He will bless them all because he'll never change. Those miracles happen all the time. Miracles happen all the time. A miracle has happened in this heart of mine. Sinner who's been saved by grace, and now
friends, I wish that you had been with me and the quartet Christmas Eve. We were at the Jefferson County Prison. And I'm telling you, friends, God really, really visited that meeting. You know, I preached on Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. And I tell you, friends, when you go to prison, your heart is troubled. And the women came at the first service at 7 o'clock, and as the invitation was given, 20 women came to Christ. The next service was with the men, and four of them accepted Christ as Savior. Oh, friends, God's Holy Spirit moved in the hearts of people. How thankful I am for you dear people who pray for us. You who have sat down and written checks this Christmas for our prison ministry and for the Christmas baskets. You don't know what you have done. But oh, I'll tell you, someday you're going to stand before God and he's going to remind you of what you did for people less fortunate. Friends, if you don't think God's concerned about the poor, get yourself a concordance and look up the word poor, and I will tell you, your eyes will be opened. You won't believe what you read. But anyway, I brag about my radio listening family, and I brag about my quartet. How blessed that I could ever be. And being on KPOF for all these years, past 27 years, and for the wonderful people out at KPOF, Dr. Dahlenbach and Dr. Wolfram and all those wonderful people, they've made my life worth living. And oh, we kid a lot, the quartet and I especially. But we do it in Christian love because we've been traveling together now for over 13 years. And we've seen hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of men and women come to Christ. And friends, they tell me that they can't build prisons fast enough. People are going to prison right and left. What a tragedy. If they had not taken prayer out of school, if they had not... See, I used to go to universities and colleges all over America and home for unwed mothers and high schools and share the gospel. And now we can't do that. They won't even let the Gideons come on the school grounds and give Bibles anymore. These young people, you see, well, they're out here, they're living in sin. Of course they're living in sin, because no one's telling them the difference. Christ is the answer, dear friends, to all of our dilemmas and all of our problems. But we have to, by faith, trust this wonderful Savior. Thank you again, precious friends. Thank you so much for what you've done for this ministry and what you've done for poor and needy people and for our prisons. I'll never be able to repay you for it, but I can pray for you. You say you don't know my name. Well, God knows your name, and I pray for my re-listening family all the time, because without you, we wouldn't be able to do anything, I'll tell you for sure. I thank the Lord that he gave me parts of my health back so I can go. Now pray for my arthritic knees, and that'll be a better thing. Anyway, God bless you, and I just pray that you had a merry, merry Christmas.